welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Dr. Matthew Commons, Product Manager at Ansys, and the topic is a webinar series on the foundation of computational electromagnetics. Matt, good morning and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dan. Morning to you.
So, Matt, before we get started, I generally ask, you know, how people came to the semiconductor industry, and more importantly, is, you know, what brought you to Ansys?
Yeah, my story is a long and winding road, and I have to go all the way back to when I, you know, in grad school, I got a PhD in physics at Washington University in St. Louis, and it was in low temperature solid state physics. And you know, for my research, I used a nuclear magnetic resonance to, you know, basically study molecular structures. During that PhD, I did a lot of built a lot of equipment, spectrometers, probes. I did a lot of maintenance on superconducting low temperature magnets, which is actually quite fun. And I really got interested in making the equipment, and so that led to a job in 1995 at Varian NMR in Palo Alto, California. And that was a great job. I was designing NMR probes, which are, you know, similar to magnetic resonance imaging coils, but, you know, for smaller type of samples and, again, doing molecular structure. But there's a lot of electromagnetics, and you were shaping fields. You're just, you know, figuring out how to get your very, very uniform magnetic fields, and just it was super challenging, many, many trade-offs to play with. But everything I did there was through test and measurement. It was basically building equipment, running a series of standard benchmarks, you know, looking at the outputs and extracting information like field homogeneity and field strength and signal to noise ratio, all lab-based. And then in late 1999, yeah, I got a job at a startup in Aptos, California, called Rangestar Wireless. And Rangestar, we were designing antennas, and in fact, we were, in my opinion, we were the company at the time that was leading the charge for doing what is now very commonplace, which is internal antennas. I would say before Rangestar, everything was a monopole sticking out of a box, and after Rangestar, people started realizing, hey, we can actually put antennas inside a device, which is a really interesting topic itself. But they didn't know what to do with this guy who did NMR coils, but they just bought a tool called HFSS from Ansoff. They said, well, have you ever used simulation? I said, no, never used simulation. Well, you want to try? I said, yeah, sure. So I did. And it was an absolute revelation. I couldn't believe, you know, visualizing fields and, you know, seeing a wave launch an antenna, something I just couldn't even really do easily in the lab. And it just really became a passion for me. And that in turn, in 2001, turned into a job at Ansoff. And I was an application engineer there. And then of course, Ansys acquired Ansoff in 2008. And I started out with sort of antenna expertise, but of course, in this type of role, you go everywhere. And where there's EM fields, you're going to be there. And sort of naturally, semiconductors became more of a thing. You know, today you see more and more. It's always been there. I don't want to say it's something new, but the adoption in the semiconductor space for EM simulation, especially now 3D EM simulation, is just becoming more and more important, more and more critical. Smaller feature sizes make things look more three-dimensional. So having a 3D simulation solution, it's really, really important. So, you know, I sort of came to it in a very, very indirect fashion, or it came to me, you know, but it's been an interesting journey.
So, yeah, I remember Ansoff. That's how you got to Ansys, I imagine, because they acquired Ansoff.
That's right.
Correct?
Right.
Yeah. I think it was one of the big footholds in Silicon Valley for Ansoff. I think it was one of the first semiconductor-related specific acquisitions.
For Ansys, yeah, That's right, because then Ansys acquired Apache a few years later, and so that was the next, you know, of course, that was a bigger semiconductor play right there. But yeah, sure. You know, we've always, as I said, HFSS has always been in semiconductor, you know, in the past, more of an expert level tool, but it's becoming definitely more and more mainstream. A lot more, we're developing a lot more automation, which is so critical. The designs are just amazingly complex compared to what I did back in 1999 in Athos, California. It's just outrageous how complex those designs are.
Well, clearly the software side has done well for you because you've been doing it for the last 20 years, right? With
yeah.
Microsoft
and, no, I love it.
And Ansys.
It's a passion. I mean, you can ask anybody who works with me. I'm very passionate about this stuff. I've sometimes asked myself, why are you so passionate about it? And I think it's because of my first impression was so just utter amazement. I mean, I didn't put an antenna into HFSS. I put an NMR coil into it. I knew it inside and out. And I ran a simulation. In those days, it took overnight. Now it would probably take 2 minutes to run on my laptop. But and I looked at the fields and I'm like, oh my, this is amazing. Like, I can do this all in simulation. What I just did would have taken me a month and a half to, you know, design, get the parts in, you know, get it put together, you know, assembled, troubleshoot, test and measure. And I did this in like an afternoon and overnight. This is amazing. So I had a really real passion for this.
So I read on your bio that you're a co-author on 5 patents. What companies were you working for when you did the patents?
Well, if I remember right, one was with Varian, and that was a type of NMR coil used to be these samples. You would be in these test tubes that would pop in and out of the coil, and we developed a type of coil where you could actually run the sample through a tube. And then I had a 3 or so with RangeStar, a lot of different little variations on antenna design, some antenna concepts, a couple of them, you know, where we basically use simulation to validate, you know, the concepts. And then my most recent one is with Ansys with 3D components, which could be another topic for another day.
Yeah, you know, I remember Varian. They were very big when I got out of college. I interviewed at Varian. I think they were in Walnut Creek as well, but they had one in Palo Alto. And I ended up taking a different job at a fab, but that was a very prestigious company back in the 80s and the 90s.
It was, yeah. I was at the Palo Alto facility, you know, right off of El Camino Real. I guess it was next to Page Mill. Yeah, I moved away. When did I move away? 2001. I moved away, but yeah, it was great. Great job to have right out of school. Really loved it. Really loved the area too.
Hey, so let's talk about the webinar series. There's a post on SemiWiki. You posted on SemiWiki about it. It's a webinar series on the foundations of computational electromagnetics. You know, let's talk about that. Tell me, you know, how that came about, and you know, what kind of details can you provide?
Okay, so yeah, it's a good question. So it came about actually. We had, you know, Ansys. If you watch what we've been doing, we've been, you know, developing a lot of technology over the years. Obviously, acquiring companies, you know, recently you might have seen that we acquired Lumerical, which has a specialization in photonics. And frankly, it just gets to be so much that every once in a while we have to have sort of internal presentations for someone to say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is all these different technologies are and why they make sense. And we actually had an internal presentation by Eric Bracken, who's doing the lead-off webinar in this series, which is going to be Tuesday, March 22nd. And Eric did this internal presentation. He said, hey, we've got all these solver technologies. You know, we have SI Wave, we have Q3D, we have HFSS. We obviously have the newer solutions from Lumerical. And he really laid out in a very, really organized fashion. You know, really, he starts from the fundamental forces of nature. It's great. He really lays out in a very organized fashion how all these different techniques, boundary element method, finite element method, FDTD, how they're all related to each other and how they all fit in. And then he takes you through this journey where he says, oh, hey, by the way, you know, this is why you make the following considerations when you pick one solver over another. And so, you know, when I was watching the meeting, I was getting a lot of, you know, people were chatting me on Teams saying, hey, this is really great. This is one of the great, this is a really great presentation. I'm learning a lot. And that's kind of where the idea came from. Was like, hey, you know what, if we're enjoying this so much, and literally we enjoyed it, I bet our users would enjoy it too. So that was kind of the genesis of the idea. Is like, you know, hey, Eric, would you be interested in, you know, doing your presentation to an external audience and sort of giving them the same sort of, you know, very fun, it's not super technical, but some very, very fundamental concepts and ideas, foundations in computational electromagnetics.
So can you just sum it up real quick? You know, what are people going to learn from this webinar series? And I understand it's a live webinar, but it will be recorded.
Right. Yeah, it is live. First one's March 22nd. We're going to follow roughly every week with four follow-ons that I'll try to describe in a second. But for this podcast, you know, I think what it is you know, you're going to learn. For me, I like learning, right? So I've been so fortunate to work with these the developers at ANSYS who are just, and we're gonna have a whole series of them presenting in the next 2 months. And I've learned so much from them. I'm not a programmer. You know, I built NMR probes. That was my background. But I've learned so much about, you know, computational electromagnetics. You know, how things work. You know what does a matrix solve do? Just details like that. And I think fundamentally makes me a better user of the software. So I think what people will get out of the first webinar is like, you know, all these different things that come in, you know, from all these different locations, you know, different techniques, it'll start to make sense. Instead of looking like this, just a, you know, random set of three letter acronyms, it'll actually start to coalesce into like a sensible framework. And then from there, you know, once you know the framework, you should be able to start to say, oh, well, you know, I remember, you know, I watched that webinar and they said in this case, a boundary element method and quasi-statics might be better, might be more effective. And then you can start to make more informed decisions. And hopefully, like me, you become a better user. So I think it's for me, I really like it. It's a great overview presentation, kind of information I kind of knew, but I had never like seen in one spot, you know, and I think users will get a lot out of it, students as well. I think anybody interested in getting their start in CEM should watch this webinar.
That's great. So given your background, I'd like to hear your perspective on what's coming next for simulation. You know, what can we expect this technology to be accomplishing in maybe say the next 5 years?
Yeah, so this is my opinion, but you know, I can tell you the forever drumbeat, and it is a drumbeat, is people want to solve faster and they want to solve bigger, more complex. And just to give you an idea, you know, again, I'll go back to when I first started with the software. You know, back then I was doing a simple antenna element, Bluetooth antenna element at the time I had the biggest workstation in the company with 750 megabytes of RAM. It was just people marveled at it. So I was simulating these antennas, and you know, it would take me a few hours, if not overnight, to sim. And now I could sim that thing, you know, it literally would be minutes. And so what does that mean when things get so much faster? It's computers plus algorithms. It's people put more into the simulation, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it makes sense, right? So you want to learn more about your system before you go out and build it, because that costs money and you want to get it right the first time. That's better. But you also get sort of insight from simulation that, you know, it's kind of hard to get in the lab. Like seeing fields and seeing a wave launch off your device, that's real insight that I don't want to say is impossible in the lab, but is pretty difficult. And so bigger, faster, more comprehensive, and again, going back to my early days, there's a metric in HFSS simulation called a matrix size. I bet those matrix sizes were on the order of 10, 20, 30,000. Nowadays, it's 100 million plus unknowns. And it's in a fairly reasonable period of time to complete that simulation. And so, you know, what is 100 million plus unknowns? It's an incredibly complex you know, a semiconductor device in a package with surrounding components, a true system. And that is it is literally orders of magnitude far more complex than I was doing, you know, 20 years ago. So it's bigger, faster. Okay, so what does that mean? So HPC resources, right? So more and more need for HPC resources, which can be challenging, right? You know, getting acquisition access to hardware. You know, if you're in a company, you know, you got to manage budgets and you got to manage the installation. You got to manage the support from IT. It's very complicated. It's very challenging. And so, you know, what I'm seeing and I'm very confident of is cloud is, I expect that in 5 years, and there'll be exceptions to this, but my expectations in 5 years, maybe 3 years, that people doing simulation in the cloud will be the norm versus what is now the exception today. So I think that's the one big thing I'm seeing is that, you know, the cloud, in order for people to really scale up and do it in a fairly easy, efficient fashion, cloud is going to be a big enabler of that. But then, of course, you know, always better algorithms, more automation. That's another constant mantra. People want more automation. So I also see, you know, more customization coming to tools that have been, you know, hyper-generalized to cover a broad set of markets, but that generalization can make it difficult to get in. So I think another strategy, you know, another direction to go is to provide the ability to customize these solutions to a specific workflow so more users can get to it.
Thank you, Matt. Great conversation. You can also see Matt on SemiWiki. He's got some blogs up, and a couple of them went viral. Your 5G rollout safety controversy, you know, you were one of the first ones to speak out about that. That went viral. And Hitchhiker's Guide to HFSS Meshing. Surprisingly, that one did really well.
So, that's great.
Anyway.
That is great.
Anyway. So thanks a lot, Matt, and we will probably talk to you again soon. And thank you, everyone, for participating in the Semiconductor Insiders podcast, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks, Dan.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.